Okay, guys. Well, it's good to be with you all. I'm in the wine room, okay? And the wine room is a place of just joy and union and bliss. And the wine, you know, is very easy to take. Now he's brought me to the house of wine and I'm in a fever of love. So I want to talk about love fevers. I want to talk about being locked in the wine cellar. Now, I've been locked in the wine cellar for a long time, and I've only just begun drinking my way through it. So this is a limitless realm. And the amazing thing is, it's not far, it's actually inside you. I'll just read a few scriptures on joy and then get into it. Psalm 36:8, they will be intoxicated with the fatness of your house, and you'll give them drink from the river of your delights. So the Lord wants to take us into the fatness of his house and give us a drink from a river of delights. At his right hand is pleasure forevermore. You cannot separate God from pleasure. Isaiah said, everything he pleases, he does. Even the cross was for the joy set before him. Everything God does is an expression. Even his justice, he sits in heaven and laughs and judges the enemy. It comes from joy. Psalm 84:11 in the Moffat translation says this, he never denies bliss to the upright. Let me tell you now, bliss is a Christian word. It was a word that's in all of our ancient books. You read through the last century books, you will see that word bliss, B-L-I-S-S, bliss. God has come. Jesus has come, one translation says, as the high priest of bliss. That's one that he, it says that he's come with the good things to come. Okay, so Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy and total celebration. At your right hand are endless pleasures and eternal delights. So at his right hand are pleasures forevermore and eternal delights. And in his presence is total celebration. Even around God, I don't know if you guys visit heaven yet. You're all at different stages. I'll let you in on a little secret. God's happy. God is happy. Let's keep going. So I want to increase your appetite for the wine today. Because once you've tasted this wine, you're going to get a taste for it and you're not going to want to live without it. And that's by divine design, because the new covenant is wine. It is not a book of rules. It is the lover's table. It is bridal love. It is intoxication. And all he says is, will you drink it? You know, when Jesus came out with the new covenant, he didn't introduce another Torah or, you know, come out with another bunch of mitzvahs, which I'm glad about. You know, he didn't say there's new mitzvahs coming. He said, this is my cup, my blood, drink it. And he chose wine, an intoxicating substance. So his ministry began with wine, where he turned water into wine, and it ended with wine. So his whole ministry is encapsulated by wine. Wine is the frequency of the gospel. Yay. Okay, so Catherine of Siena, one of the most famous doctors in the Catholic Church, she died at a young age, powerful mystic. She said this, let us behave like the drunkard who doesn't think of himself, but only of the wine he has drunk and of the wine that remains to be drunk. Catherine of Siena, amazing hero of the faith. I want to tell you now, there is a realm inside you that will feed you. We're not coming from a place of separation. We're coming from union, but progressing in union. It says this in the Passion Translation, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. So it's a journey of faith. It says, in the same way that you receive Jesus by faith, continue in your union. The same way that you received him is the same way that you go deeper. It's by believing, not achieving. You believe he's in you. You believe you can turn into him. You believe he's already embraced you. You believe the burning fire of the Trinity lives in your body. It's inside you and no one can take it away from you. A meeting can't add to it. No one can take away from it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then you are hidden in Christ. Colossians 3, the secret of your life is now you are in Christ, in God. You're not even one that's looking at the throne, although you can choose to. You're one that's in the throne, in Christ, in heavenly places, and he's in you. You're in him. I'm in you. You're in me. That's the gospel. And Jesus said, that's what's going to change the world. It's not the miracles that are going to change the world. It's not the wonders. It's not the signs. The world's already a wonder. The world's already a sign. Babies, animals, oceans. Jesus said that what will change the world is when they realize I'm in you, you're in me, and we're in each other, and we're in union. It's the power of love. And that says, then they will know the love of the Father is in you, and I am in you, and you are in me. Yay! So we're progressing into union. We do not come from the perspective of separation. Separation from God is an illusion. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. He is the air that I'm breathing. He is the yechida, which the Jews call the spark of life, that fills my body. He is the vibrating strings of energy in the quantum realm that sustain me. He is the all in all. And He is in me. He is taking occupation in me. And when we accept Jesus as Lord, that's what we're doing. We're accepting Him into the interior castle where He sits enthroned in glory and honor inside you. Yay. And now all the kingdom of heaven is within. And you have free access anytime you want to turn inwards. Turning inwards. I love this comment by one of the mystics. She says this, believe the incredible truth that the Beloved has chosen for His dwelling place the core of your own being, because that is the single most beautiful place in all creation. The single most beautiful place in all of creation is your heart, is your being. It was made for God and He delights in it. Yay. So what is the aim of this then? How do we grow in this? You have to get a mindset that the aim isn't that you're serving God, because He doesn't call you servants anymore. He calls you His beloved. He calls you friends. The aim is that you learn to feast on the union that you have with Him, that you start to drink from pleasure and you realize you were made by pleasure for pleasure. Jesus said this, I came that your joy, might be complete and overflowing. You are the place of the rivers of God that make glad the cities. You are Eden Springs, the four chambers of your heart. Eden means delight or pleasure. You were planted in the garden of pleasure, and now that pleasure stream, the four rivers, come out of the four chambers of your heart, and you are now the gates and doors of heaven coming into creation where the rivers flow out of you. See, many people are still looking for God from an external. But when I study all the mystics and revivalists and saints, they understood that God lived in them. John G. Lake, who saw more miracles than anyone else in his generation, said he would stand in the mirror every day and say, God lives in this suit. God lives in this body. You have to realize you are the body. You are the body. You are the body. You are the body of Jesus. Jesus has a body. It's your body. He lives in you, and you live in Him. Oh, but we must learn to drink this love. See, what is the point of love but enjoyment? What is the point of love except ecstasy and rapture and all that is beautiful? The greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return. Love gives you wings. Love makes you fly. Love lifts you up where you belong. Love is the more excellent way. See, Jesus didn't come to create a religion. He came to birth lovers, and to be loved. This is what makes you alive and passionate. This strips off religion. This shakes the box. This breaks open the world. Love gives you wings and makes you fly. Wow. Okay. So one of my favorite saints in scripture is Saint Paul. Saint Paul, the beloved apostle, knew this. He is the mystic writer. He uses the word mystic more than anyone else in the Bible, the word mystery, mysterion. And he was possessed by love. He was wounded by love. He said, I bear the wounds in my body. The word there is stigmata. Some people believe he even had physical wounds from his love with the Lord. And I believe such things are possible. I've seen it. I've experienced it. But he said this, he said, for if we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it's for God. But if we are in our right minds and sober, it's for your benefit. That's 2 Corinthians 5:13. Now, the New King James Version just says, besides myself. If I'm besides myself, it's for God. If I'm normal, it's for you. That sounds very polite. But when you look at the word, it's existemi, and the word ek means out of my, out. It's the same as ecclesia, ek, called out. He was saying, if I'm out of my mind, in wonder, in bliss, is for God. If I'm speaking sober and you can understand me, I'm doing it for you. So Paul was a person who had to walk between these two worlds of one, wanting to communicate the glorious, scandalous gospel. But at the same time, he was possessed by the lover. He had found the lover. And he said this, I love this translation. He says, the love that Christ has for me possesses me on every side and leaves me no choice. The love is the spring of every action that I do. So he was a guy who said, I am possessed and ruled by Christ's love. He even said in one translation, it possesses me and prohibits me from considering any other. That you can be so possessed by love that you cannot even consider another lover. I'm like that. I'm radically in love with Jesus. I'm way past worrying about, can I lose my salvation? You've got to get past that. It's too late for you. It's too late. He saved you single-handedly, and he lives in you, and he's merged himself into you. He cannot separate from you. It says, who can separate from the love of God? Nothing can separate you from this love. You've been absorbed into love, and you are becoming love, and you are safe forever in a castle of his heart, and he is in the castle of your heart, and it's done. You are in mystic union. So the Greek word existemi that Paul used here for ecstasy, it means to be outside of oneself in blissful ecstasy and filled with pleasure. This is the note from the Passion Translation. They got a footnote. It says the group Greek word existemi means to be outside of oneself in a state of blissful ecstasy and filled with pleasure. Yay! See, we should be filled with pleasure. When was the last time that you walked down the street and you were so filled with pleasure and so filled with his love that you don't even know what to do with yourself? Because that's what God wants. It's happened to me many times, and we haven't seen anything yet, because this river is without limits. This river is beyond, it's a torrent. Okay. So the Passion Translation says this, it is to come into another state of consciousness of being lost in wonder and amazement. Now, I've had this many, many times. One time I was at an airport, and it happened to me just after I loaded my suitcases, and I was going to fly to, I think, France or back from France. And I got caught up in God's love, and I completely forgot where I was. And about 5 minutes later, I came round, and I remembered, I'm in an airport. And I carried on with my day. That has happened to me many, many times, mostly in secret, mostly when I'm alone, when I enter into the inner castle and I feast on the table that he's prepared. You don't even get to prepare the table. It says he prepares the table in the presence of my enemies. He fills your cup. You don't even have to fill it. All you can do is drink it. All you can do is delight in it. All you can do is take the cup until the wine drools down your chin and onto your chest, until you are inebriated, until honey drips from your mouth and you are covered in sweetness and you become sticky and the glory on your life is sticky and people can feel the sticky glory on you. Oh, if I'm offending anyone, I make no apologies. The gospel is offensive, and it has to be offensive again. It can't be this get your ticket to heaven message. No, it's far more scandalous than going to heaven. It's God merges with you. God becomes one with you, permanently in marriage bliss, permanently feasting, permanently entangled. The gospel is the greatest scandal you'll ever hear. It's the greatest scandal we can ever preach, and we have to change how we preach it. We have to change how we preach it. Yay. So the mystics all found the same thing, that God was, I love this. This is the words of Julian of Norwich, the first book written in English by a woman. She said this word for God, and it's such a powerful word. You ready for this? She said, God is homely. What does homely mean? Well, I'll tell you now. It means that he is friendly. He is friendly to humanity. She said this. This is the definition, that he's attached by feelings of love, affection, and personal regard, that he is an ally, a supporter, he is sympathetic, and he is not hostile. He is friendly. He is the friend of humanity. And we have to get rid of the scary version of God that they try and preach, where God's mad at you. God's not mad at you. Jesus is not mad at you. It says, for God so loved the world, it says, not counting the sins of the world against them. He embraced them. He embraced you before you chose him. It was his choice. He chose you. He said he made a covenant within himself, because he found no one else to do the covenant with him. He made a covenant with himself and said, I am going to choose you. He says he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is a long-term investment. This is a long-term belief. You were hidden in Jesus before you fell in Adam. Before you fell in Adam, you were hidden in Jesus. He was slain before the foundation of the world, because he is going to get what he wants, and he wants you. The question is, will you accept the torrent of his pleasure? Will you accept the river of his delights? Will you become the object of his affection? Now I'm going to go through different stages of union, okay? And I've experienced all the stages I'm going to share with you. I could talk for hours on it. It is my passion. It's my secret life. I rarely preach on it. Liz has asked me to speak on this, and I think it's a great topic. I'm inviting you into my secret life with God, and with the hope that you develop your own secret life with him. Okay, stage one of going deeper in union with God. The old saints called it centering. The idea is this: he's in the center and you're coming back into the center. So you're letting go of worrying. You're letting go of your thoughts. You're letting go of what people have said. You're letting go of issues. Right now, they don't matter. You put them on pause, or you just let them flow and ignore them, and you turn into the center that God's in you. He is in you. And it might seem a tricky thing to do, but it can become natural. He's in you and you're in him. 2 Corinthians 3:16, the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. The moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. So Teresa of Avila, she's one of my favorite saints. I absolutely love her. The book of her life, which I've worn out so many copies of this book. There's her in ecstasy. And she's considered to be the doctor of theology on ecstasies. And this book is a treasure. I mean, I even know how it smells, because I've smelt it so many times, because it's just so delicious and so full of goodness. And, you know, she wrote the book, The Interior Castle, as well. That's the book of her life. She says this: how do you come into God's presence? She answers it. She says this: you only need believe that God dwells in you. You only need believe God dwells in you. That is enough to begin the process. She said this belief, and this belief alone, will bring you into his holy presence. So this is also called contemplative prayer, because you're contemplating these wonders that he's in me. And it's such a simple thing. You just open your heart and you just believe it. He's in me. He's in me. I'm in him. And you turn into the sweetness of it, and it nourishes your spirit, and a kindness emanates into the fabric of your being, a gentleness that's so powerful it disarms all your fears, a gentleness that pervades even into your cellular memory, removing trauma, undoing systems of unbelief, reconfiguring your thinking back to love, because you realize he is the gentle one. He is the gentle father. You know, I'll just share this as an aside. One time I was taking communion in my room. I was in Virginia doing ministry, and I had the afternoon off. And I sat on the bed and I was communion with the Lord, and I had communion in my hands. And then the realm opened and a being of light slowly moved towards me. And as I saw this being of light, I felt all I can describe as the power of gentleness. And it was the Father, it was Papa, it was Abba. And he walked up to me in my room and put his hands on the communion, and he blessed the body of our Lord. And I was caught up for like an hour and a half. But I will never forget that, because I felt the Father. The Father is the gentle God. The Father is the kind God. That's why he's so patient with history. That's why he's winning us gently with love, because he is not angry. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Because he has the last say. The argument's over. The warfare's over. You feast in the presence of your enemies because you are with him. Are you guys okay? Liz, are we doing good? Awesome. I'm giving you deep stuff. I know that, but you can handle it, because we can't be shallow anymore. Not in this era. This needs to be an era where we're scandalized by the gospel of grace, where grace possesses every mansion of your heart, every room, every doorway, every gate is flooded with light. So Teresa of Avila said this, I love her. She said, God is in me, my soul is his temple. I recollect myself in the intimacy of this temple. So that's a word you'll read a lot in the old books, recollection. So it's recalling. I'm collecting myself back to union. I'm collecting my thoughts away from the world and inwards. I'm moving my thinking from outside to inside. It's called recollection. So they sometimes call this stage the prayer of recollection or recollection. So I recollect the fact that he's in me, in the intimacy of his temple, and I move in to adore him, love him, and unite myself with him. Now, this is a really important point. If you want to go deeper into mystic prayer, it's not about your prayer requests. Remember, it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is with me, I have no needs. Normal prayer requests is a different type of prayer to this. This is the prayer of love. This is the prayer of union. This is the prayer of the presence. This is the prayer of the honey, the love wine. This is the glory cloud prayer, where you're not in there because you're dealing with anything else. You're saying, I have everything I need, and he makes me lie down and restores my soul. This is the prayer that brings life into even your DNA. This is what Enoch did to become immortal. Enoch walked with God. And that word walked means he entangled into union with God, and he couldn't even die. Okay, so she says this, just come to the Lord. As you come, come with a deep sense of love. This isn't even a place of repentance. Your repentance can't add to this. Your sin's been done away with and out of sight. You don't even have the right to take it in with you. You are forgiven and innocent and holy. You move out of those mindsets of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. This is the place of the tree of life. And in the tree of life, you are innocent. In the tree of life, you are included. In the tree of life, there is no sin. There is no record of it. You are beautiful. He says, turn away from me. You have dove's eyes. I can't handle you. You know, you are the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. So it's two lights coming into one light and exploding with light. This is the place of complete innocence and forgetting that you've even done anything wrong, because you are absorbed by holiness. You are absorbed by a stronger fragrance, a stronger sound, a stronger frequency has come upon you and has become the dominant force in your heart. Okay. As you come with a deep sense of love, come to him very gently, humbly acknowledging he is everything. This is very important. This isn't the door of violence. This is the door of gentleness. This is the door of sweetness. This is the kiss of the lips. Let me kiss him with the kisses of his mouth. Whoa, for his love is better than wine. He is fair and beautiful. All his garments are scented. This is the place where you taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste and see. You taste the honey on his lips. You taste the wine of his blood. You taste the inclusion of his love. And you are overwhelmed when you realize you are the object of forever love. You are the object of his affection, chosen in him before. And all you can do is drink it and receive it. She says, close your eyes to everything around you. Begin to open the inward eyes of your soul, turning those eyes to your spirit. Give your full attention to the deep inward parts of your being. So one of the ways I do this, I say this, I'm in you, you're in me. Oh. So I've created my own mini prayer, which can get me so in the glory. See, it's not about how many hours, it's about focus and believing. See, some people pray for God's glory for hours because they don't believe that the glory's in them. They don't see it. They haven't understood it. They haven't understood the gospel that he's in you. Christ has come. He's in the temple of your heart. Love has won. And as you turn into it, you get flooded with love because you open up the well and it becomes a river and then it becomes a torrent and then it becomes the rains. See, whoa, do not despise the small things. For small keys open big doors. It's the small key of your heart opens up the biggest doors in the universe. Hey. Woo. 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 So, oh, I can't imagine living without this. I have lived like this for 15 years. And I still am plunging deeper into it. I'm possessed by it. It's beyond ministry. Yeah. Whoa. Oh. And it starts so small. The Lord showed me it's like a snowflake. A snowflake lands on your hand and you look at it and you honor it. And if you honor a snowflake, more snow comes and then a snowball's formed. If you honor the snowball and say, I love your presence. I love this union. I love you. You love me. It becomes an avalanche, which is called ecstasy. But many people don't have ecstasies because they didn't love the snowflake. You have to love the small sense of his presence. It's always there. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're breathing him in right now. He is the air that you breathe and you turn into it. And you can turn into it anytime, anywhere. Brother Lawrence, one of the famous mystics of history, he used to work in the kitchen. And he experienced the practice of the presence of God amongst the pots and pans. He said, God is found amongst the pots and pans. And you find he's everywhere. Like, you know, Peter fell into a trance, it says, when he smelt the food. Because once you realize he's the food you eat, he's the air that you breathe, and Peter smelt the food and fell into a trance. How did he fall into a trance of smelling food in the book of Acts? Because the pathway is the same. It's the pathway of pleasure. Pleasure is the gateway into the higher realms. When you enjoy him, you enjoy the sweetness. Yay. Yeah. Okay. It's getting harder to talk because the more I'm talking, the more I'm getting into this realm. So the next stage then after centering is called simple union. The reason it's also called the prayer of simplicity. Why is it called that? Because you become very simple. This isn't about complexity at this stage. This is about kissing. Let me tell you now, kissing's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. You are enjoying one another. It's called the prayer of simplicity because the activity is beginning to end. You might have started with worship. You might have started with prayer. You might have started by chanting his name like the Jews do. Or you may have started by dancing or doing art. But suddenly you sense the presence and you turn into it. And now it becomes simple. You stop the activity because the activity has done its purpose. The activity has led you into the awareness of your union with him. And now you are tasting it. Now you are feeling it. Now you are enjoying it. Then the aim is to stay in that. So Jean Goyon, another one of the great writers, and I love Jean Goyon. Madame Goyon. There she is. One of the great heroes of the faith. Jean Goyon, Madame Goyon. She said this, "Perhaps you'll begin to enjoy a sense of the Lord's presence. If that is the case, do not try to think of anything. Do not try to say anything. Do not try to do anything. As long as the sense of the Lord's presence continues, just remain there. Remain with him exactly as you are." Now, what I often do is I'll often just go, I love you. So I will speak out because it nurtures the atmosphere of what you're experiencing. But I'll often, to be honest with you, I'll make groaning noises. And my kids see me do it all the time. They all know I do it because I'll be enjoying the sweetness of his love. And I'll just go, And it might happen when we're at the dinner table, in the car. My children have heard me do this for their whole lives. And what it is I'm caught in the sweetness because he loves me. And when I'm eating a cake, say, right? I love cakes. I love vanilla slices. I love pumpkin pies, chocolate. But when I eat it, it triggers my awareness of his sweetness and his goodness. And it might be something different for you. Maybe, you know, eating a good steak might trigger you. But within your life, everywhere you look, a triggers into bliss. You're just not jumping in the pool. You have to see those triggers. It can come in music, in a song. If I find a song triggers that bliss, one time I put a song on for 5 hours straight because the song was nourishing the bliss. And I stayed in it and I don't try and think. It doesn't have to make sense because this isn't about my mind. It's not about this. It's about this. This is who I am. My brain is just a biological component processing signals to interface my spirit with my body. It's a servant. It's not the master. The master is my spirit within, and I live in the spirit within and the glory within. And I tell you what, guys, it leaks out of you. It leaks out of you. I've touched people many times and seen them intoxicated. I've gone into hotels and made the receptionist cry because the presence coming off me. But it comes from turning in, not turning out. The focus is going into the interior castle. All right. So I'm getting quite wrecked. So this is the thing. You will have to allow the Lord to wreck you. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll cry so much that you think you can't cry anymore. And then you'll cry again the next day. Sometimes in this prayer room, I'm in the prayer room. I've used up rolls of toilet roll, weeping in the goodness and love of God, but full of longing. I call it the bliss of longing. Wow. I will not be satisfied until I am fully formed in his likeness. There is more. Okay. So the aim of this is to stay in the sweetness. So what do you do when the sweetness lifts? You've got two choices. You can then go about your day, which is fine because God loves your day. And this isn't a new set of rules, or if you want, you can turn back into it again. Now, one of the ways I turn back into it sometimes is by doing something with him. Like I love shopping. I love the garden. You know, Brother Lawrence became a Christian through looking at a tree, realizing that the leaves would come forth. And he had a revelation. Francis of Assisi would have incredible ecstasies doing the garden. And birds would come to him. Squirrels would come to him. Other people like Saint Bernard would walk through forests in ecstasies for days, not eating, not sleeping, sometimes floating off the ground. You know, Francis of Assisi used to float off the ground very often. And sometimes he would float so high, you couldn't see his body. Now that is floating really high. But I tell you what makes you flow, what breaks gravity is love. Love makes you feel like you're walking on air. And some days you may actually be because you've been raptured. So Brother Lawrence said this, "If your mind wanders at times, don't be upset. Never punish yourself. If you start punishing yourself, that's the wrong tree. So even if you forget God in your prayer time and you've been thinking about what am I doing later, never, never punish yourself. He still sits with his arms open saying, come on, come back. He doesn't even mention your sins. He's not even trying to mention your sins. He just wants you, okay? And he's very gracious. Don't become upset because it'll only distract you more. Allow your will to recall your attention gently to God. Such perseverance will please him." So Brother Lawrence said this, "I keep my attention on God in a simple, loving way." Whee! This is my soul's secret experience of the actual unceasing presence of God. This has been my experience, the unceasing presence of God. You know, he never leaves you. He can't. He's closer to you than you are to yourself. It gives me such contentment and joy, Brother Lawrence said, that I sometimes feel compelled to do rather childish things. This will happen to you too, okay? If you want to go down this pathway, forget your dignity, for your dignity will be a victim of the pathway of love. And your dignity will not remain in its place. And many, many times I've been overwhelmed. And one time I was saying, Lord, why? Why? Especially in public. Please, not in public. Oh, God, be gracious to me. And then he gave me this verse. It's in the message. It says, you have been dignified by the indignity. It's a heavenly dignity to be mocked and to be misunderstood for love's sake. For men and women will be misunderstood for many things, but who will be misunderstood for love? Who will be misunderstood for the sake of love and because of love? So we continue in this practice until it becomes a way of living. And what has become simple will grow. Teresa of Avila described it as a well. You pull in a well, and at first it's difficult. The well of your heart is grace. But the more you pull the grace, the more the water flows. Until she said, eventually a stream forms in your garden of your heart. And as that stream forms, eventually it's a river. And then eventually mists come. And then you live effortlessly in the mists that water your garden. Whee! Okay, I've got 10 minutes left. Now, if we've stopped where I am now, I would be happy with the teaching, because the prayer of simplicity or simple union is what you should aim for, okay? But I am going to warn you that if you let God have this relationship with you, every so often you are going to have ecstasies, okay? So I'm just going to talk about ecstasies for a minute, because nobody warned me this would happen. And I was a bit shocked when it started happening. And even today, I'm still shocked when they happen. They're also called raptures. This is where the kissing gets a bit passionate, okay? So it can be quite gentle. You know, you're nibbling each other, but then Jesus gets full on. That's called a rapture or an ecstasy, okay? And your body experiences it too. So the prayer I've told you about so far, Teresa of Avila said, it's a little spark of love. She says, this little spark is a sign or a pledge which God gives to a soul. It's a token of him having chosen it for great things, if it will prepare to receive them. So what am I saying? If you will celebrate that sweet little intimacy with God that's there when you're in the shower, it's there when you're washing dishes, it's there when you're holding a baby, it's there when you're eating a steak, it's there in the park, it's there when you swim. If you will live in this unceasing sweetness, you will give him permission to fan the flame of love in you till it consumes you, body, soul, and spirit. And I've had it many times. There's a phenomena called incendium amoris, which translates as the burning heart of love. I've had it twice. I've got so hot physically from God's love, I've set off fire alarms. The most recent time was in March in Nashville. I was on stage at a conference of 300 people. I shared on Incendium Amoris, and the person managing the facility came to see me afterwards and said, did you know that whilst you preached, you set off the stage fire alarms? Okay, so the next stage, it gets stronger. It's called complete union. This is where it's much harder to pull out, because now you are starting to be absorbed by God. Now, some of you may have experienced this, but it's like you're in another world. You're in such a sweetness. St. Thomas said this, the soul loves and is loved in return. She seeks and is sought. She holds and is herself held. She clasps and she is closely embraced. And by the bond of love, she unites herself with God, one with one, alone with him. At this stage, he's filling your cup. So this stage now, your cup's starting to overflow. So the other stage that I talked about, it's like only half full. You're okay. You can carry on with life. You look normal. People, you can fake the fact you're normal. This next stage, you might look like you're intoxicated. The presence might leak off you. There might be fragrances, your face might shine, you might have all sorts of phenomena happen to you, or people may not even know it's happening. Most of the time when I have it, people don't even know I'm in this condition. I could be sitting on an aeroplane. I remember one time I flew to America and I was in this state for about 5 hours looking at the screen in front of me with nothing on it. I had a black screen, it was turned off, and I was smiling, looking at the screen like this. And every so often the person next to me would look at me and then look at the screen and look at me, shake their head. But for like 5 hours, I sat in bliss. Let me tell you now, if you have to go to airports, you need to do this. You need to get into mystic communion. If you have children, you need to do this. If you have grandchildren, you must do this. You must do this, okay? So this place now is a much stronger presence and you might feel intoxicated. If you continue in this, you'll have a thing called ecstasy. Now, you cannot create an ecstasy in the same way that you cannot create mystic prayer. It's a gift. It's a gift. It comes to you. Paul said this, I know a man in Christ who was seized and swept up in ecstasy to heaven's heights. If you have a trust relationship with God, where you give him your heart, where you become a love slave, where you become bridal, where you become intimate, he takes that as an invitation for him to ravish you out of your senses and to show you the mysteries of the cosmos. And he will show you the mysteries of the Trinity, and he will show you the seven spirits, and he will show you space and time and quantum physics, and he will open up things to you that human words cannot communicate. And sometimes it happens in the twinkling of an eye. I've sometimes had an ecstasy in 1 minute. I had one here, and Rachel and Janine, who worked with me, were in the office the next day, and it took me hours to tell them what I learned in 1 minute. And I literally learned it in 1 minute. See, why are Christians hanging out on the shores of unbelief? Why are they calling for him to come when he's already come? See, God is looking for a company of people who believe what he has done in the Son, that love is one and he has won the field of your heart. At this stage, you could be astonished and shocked. You know that you're ignorant and all you know is a dot. For truly he is unlimited beyond your wildest dreams, and all that you know of him is nothing to what is yet to be seen. He is incomprehensible and he is infinite and he is glorious. He might show you other universes, space and time, heavenly dimensions and realms. This is broadband communication. This is sometimes so gentle, but you are being infused with it. I call it infused knowledge. I've written about it in my book called Beyond Human. Okay, at this point, you will feel a sense of real gratitude, deep gratitude and humility. When I first started having ecstasies, I rejected them because they frightened me. And I realized I had a fear in me of death, fear and mistrust. And I had to take these into the courts of heaven. And I asked the Lord to divorce them from me, divorce me from fear of dying, fear of love, fear of death. Divorce me from the mindsets that say I am unlovely. And then I had to learn to accept his ecstasies. Now where I am 15 years in, I ravish them and I celebrate them. And I don't care whether it costs me ministry. I don't care whether it shuts doors for me. I don't care whether people receive me. I have found my purpose to be his, to belong to him, to be his object of tender affection and to receive his love. So ecstasy is designed as I can't talk because I'm getting caught up. The definition of ecstasy is this: a state of excessive gladness and delight. This is Teresa of Avila, which is so extreme that the soul appears to swoon away and seems on the point of leaving the body. In the Bible, they define ecstasis, which is in the Bible often trance, is a state of delight, bliss, elation, rapture, transport, a sense of being taken out of oneself and entering a state of intensified and heightened feeling, an emotion so powerful as to produce a trance-like disassociation from all. A verse for this is 2 Corinthians 5:13. I'll read it in the Mirror. It says, we are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our Maker. He delights in our ecstasy. Our insane mode is between us and God. Oh, thank you, Lord. So have you got an insane mode? Because it's time for you to find it. If you want other verses to support this, Psalm 36, 8, they shall be inebriated with the plenty of your house, and thou shalt make them drink of the torrent of thy pleasure. There is a torrent, guys. There is a torrent of pleasure prepared for those who choose to be the lovers of Christ. His reward truly is beyond your wildest dreams. I'm coming to an end. Teresa of Avila says, in this stage, God ravishes the soul wholly unto himself. At this stage, guys, your body, soul, and spirit are all in it. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about the grandchildren. You are totally absorbed by God. Your senses are absorbed. Your body, your cells are vibrating with love. Your cells are vibrating with life. You're astonished and in wonderment. God ravishes the soul wholly unto himself as one who is his very own bride. Wow. And he shares some small part of the kingdom she has won. Wow. I think I'm done now because I can't, time's up and I can't talk anyway. So it's perfect timing. So that's called ecstasy or rapture. And that has been my experience for the last 15 years. And very rarely have I ever preached on it. I want to encourage you to go back over it and listen to what I've said. So let's just turn into his presence for a second with gratitude. Gratitude is the technology of the spirit. A grateful heart is an open heart. And Lord, we are grateful for the gospel. We are grateful. I ask for everyone here and everyone around them that they will become slaves of love. For there is no greater thing than to love and be loved in return. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. So I give you permission to be intoxicated, inebriated, raptured, whether it's gentle sweetness or a full-blown ecstasy, that you live a life of love and bliss and pleasure, for you are made for pleasure. And he loves you. He loves you beyond your wildest dreams. And he will never, ever change his mind about you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.